Hello, my name is Adam Attic from Brooklyn, New York. My clean date, September 25th, 1987. Okay, I have 24 and a half years clean. And the topic of this meeting, old timer, right? So I consider myself like old timer, newcomer, old timer. Bob, what I do? Come on. Cut it on. Tilt it up. That's it. I'm good. I can sing. Oh, yeah. I thought he wanted me to sing. Like I said, I consider myself an old timer, newcomer, old timer, newcomer. Like the speaker before me said, you know, I'm still remain teachable. You know, I still have an open mind to this. Meeting still makes sense to me. You know, coming to conventions down here still makes sense to me. You know, when I first came around, before I got here, my drug of choice was sniffing dope, smoking crack. You know, I couldn't go up unless I came down. And, you know, the main thing that made me an old timer and the main things that keeps me here today is I remember waking up sick like it was this morning. I used to hate waking up sick, you know, because I knew it was sometimes I wouldn't even go to sleep because I knew when I woke up I was going to be sick. And I remember the worst thing for me, you know, when I was using was being dope sick, taking a hit of crack without no dope. You know, if I was running with the crew that had crack and I didn't have no dope and I knew I was going to be messed up behind it, I'd take it anyway and be all shaky, nervous, crazy. The feeling is just, it's just beyond this world, you know. And that keeps me clean right into this moment, you know. When I came around, I went to detox in 87. Right, I was supposed to go to a rehab, you know, when you ain't got nothing going on in your life, and the person from the rehab tell you, look, come to our facility. When you leave, you're gonna have a bank account, you're gonna have a job, you're gonna be a so quote unquote, you know, productive member of society. And when I was talking to the counselor, I told all the drugs I use except dope. And she mentioned to me that, you know, we don't give no medication. So I got honest right quick. I said, yeah, I sniff a little dope, you know. So she suggested I go to detox, get the dope out of my system, you know. And I'm from the 60s. And, like, you know, in New York, I guess it was like that from all of us from the 60s. The parents or the people down the block, your friends' parents, they could put you in check on the block if you was doing something wrong. And I come from that era where I didn't disrespect old people, you know. So I was in the detox, and the first 4 or 5 days, I fell in with the crew that was always doing something negative in the detox. You know, they fell in love. They were still getting high on the side. They wasn't there for the, you know, whatever. I didn't know nothing about NA yet. You know what I'm saying? I just fell in with that crew because that was part of my life, you know, falling in with the negative crew. So I fell in with them. So y'all would come up. Thank God for H&I. Thank God for H&I. Y'all would come up, cut the TV off, mess up what was going on. We was playing cards. You know, yo, NA is here. You know, oh, man, these motherfuckers. I mean, these people, you know, they coming again. God damn, you was here yesterday. And this one day y'all came up, right? And this little old lady. You know, this is a true story. Little old lady, she's a retiree, somebody like a grandmother figure. And she came over to me. You know, when y'all came up, had my crew going on in the detox. You know, we was running it like jail. And she said to me, she said, you know, let me holler at you. She didn't say holler, excuse me. She said, can I talk to you for a minute, right? And so, you know, I went over there. She's a little lady. And she said, you know, you got a problem. Why don't you go down there and listen to the people? They might can help you out. And like I tell you, I'm from the 60s. And my upbringing was like I couldn't disrespect the lady and go back there and mess with those cats. So I walked down to the NA meet, you know, an attitude, cigarette in my ear. You know, I used to smoke back then, right? Guys calling me, yo, you a sucker. You don't need that. Come on, man. You know, whatever, whatever. My mind was back there with those cats. Sat down, cool cat, had a four-finger ring, because back then, 87, that was happening, you know, in New York. I don't know if they had them down here, four-finger rings. He had a haircut, fade, and he said he sniffed dope, he stole from his people, he woke up sick, he had 94 days clean. And when I heard that, you know, and when I tell you that story, right, I just want you to tap into the first day when you knew you really surrendered. Remember that day when you knew that you found a home? I mean, that was what I felt. Like, I found a home. It was a warm feeling inside of me, like what I was always looking for, because when I was getting high, all those times, I knew it was wrong. I knew what I was doing was wrong, but I just was sucked into the camaraderie, plus the physical, you know, the dope sick and everything, and I liked the lifestyle, you know, and it was like a home feeling. Now, in this detox, from that point on, I was making meetings. I couldn't retain much information. I still can't retain much information now, you know what I'm saying? I can hear something good at a meeting now. As soon as I walk out there, I'd have forgot it, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, right, soon as the meetings would come, I was making meetings in the detox now. I was in it. You know, all I knew was when I got out, don't use, you know, make a meeting, right? Now, I got out September 25th, 1987, 10:30, discharge us out the detox. It was me, two other cats, right? One cat was going to drink. He was there for his job. Fuck that, I'm going to drink. I don't care nothing about nothing. Another guy, this was a partner. We crewed up in the detox. We're going to do this together. So we walked to the liquor store, right? So he bought a big fifth of Wild Irish Rose. The dude that said he was going to drink. Took a drink. Later for the detox, whatever, whatever. Now the cat, we were supposed to do this together. Passed the bottle to him, right? And he took a drink. Now I'm next. I'm waiting. I'm going to take a drink, right? And right when the bottle was getting ready to come to me, my mother and my sister pulled up. Yo, come on. And I never took that drink. Knowing what I know now, if I would have took that drink, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you right now today, you know? And when I went to that, my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting is at this place in New York City we call the Howl Club in Manhattan, where it was rough recovery because you had all kind of characters in there at that time. It was a TC on top. You played cards all day in the middle. It was bums and all kind of indigents all around. The meeting stunk, but it was a main central meeting place for New York City back then. They had meetings all day, from 8 in the morning to the last meeting, I think, was 3 at night, 3 in the morning, meetings. And when I went to that meeting, September 25th, 3 o'clock, I raised my hand. I said, my name is Al, and I'm an addict, and I just got out of detox. And the welcome, they stood up and clapped. I almost wanted to cry, but I had my ego. I had to hold that shit in, you know what I'm saying? You know, they got me, they had me, you know? And I knew that's what I wanted. I knew this is the lifestyle that I wanted. And what really further anchored it is when I seen an anniversary. I seen a cat, he had his family. You know, that's why they say the anniversary after a certain turn of time. You know, I'm gonna get to that in a minute. As old timers, as we say, it's not for us. You know what I'm saying? I seen this guy had his family, the way it's set up in New York, the way we do things. I understand it's done a little different in certain places. You know, we have the person that's celebrating, he could have a leader and a few speakers, and they come up, you have his family, and you know, basically they share about recovery, and then they bring up the celebrant, and everybody will clap and have a good time, and you know, that's the meeting. You know, but it's a good day, a good meeting, you know? And that's how I set up. So when I seen that, you know, I said, damn, I want that. I got family. I messed them over. You know, I want them to come, you know, I could get clean and celebrate a year. You know, and I did that, and I did it for 24 more years, you know what I'm saying? You know, because I liked it, you know, I still like celebrating, you know? And now bringing you up to date as being, you know, so quote-unquote person with a clean time today, plus, you know, years of clean time, complacency, right? I hit a point in my recovery, I think I was around maybe like 13, 14 years clean, where, you know, I just got tired of making meetings. It wasn't because of y'all. It was just because of me. You know what I'm saying? I just got tired of making meetings. The reason why, after I kept coming, is because whenever you come into an NA meeting, you're confronted with the truth. You know, it's always something to work on. It's always something. It's three things going on in your life. Either you're in a storm, you just got out of a storm, or you're heading towards a storm. You know what I'm saying? And I just got tired of working on Al. You know, I just got tired of just always got to look at stuff. So I just was happy with the fact that I was clean. You know what I'm saying? Just clean, happy. And you know what I found out? I don't know if anybody could identify with this. If you ever go through them spells, and then you run into other people that stop making meetings, you know, and you ask them what's going on, they make everything seem great. That shit sounds kind of good for a while. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, yeah, my life is good. I'm traveling. I'm, you know, later for that NA, you know, and they always talking this and that, you know. But that wasn't my stilo. I just got tired of making meetings because I just got tired of being confronted with the truth. But other people got other reasons. And most likely they'd be pointing their finger at the fellowship. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but that wasn't my case. And then what happened was I felt like I wanted to use. You know what I'm saying? And like the speaker last night talked about a vision. You know, a vision where you could see beyond yourself. And like the young ladies that spoke before me, I came around, acquired a few things, material items, you know, being clean, you're not spending all your money up on drugs. You're supposed to prosper. You're supposed to do good things with your money. So don't nobody make you feel bad if you're in here and you got a few, you know, material items. You know, you earned it. You deserved it. You're not making nobody else rich. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about those material items, you don't let them make you, you know, because you can't fix a spiritual problem with material items. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to happen in this fellowship. It's not going to happen. You know, it's just going to be a cover-up. And what I found out, all the material things that I myself require are all fit in the pipe. All that shit will go in the pipe. All that shit will go up your nose. It'll all go. I had a cat one time. This is real talk. I had a cat one time. He had came into some money, about $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. He got an insurance check, and he said, yo, everything was good till I got down to my last $5 out of $50,000. Your last $5. Just picture that. You ain't got no more money in the world. I mean, when I first came around, when I was using, all the money I had in the world was in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? It was in my pocket. And when I had $100, you couldn't tell me nothing. I was going to get high forever. You know what I'm saying? If the party wasn't going to stop, $100. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, as being an old timer, right, I'm so grateful, right, everything that I have earned and feel, you know what I'm saying, it, to the last breath just came out of my mouth is due to Narcotics Anonymous. I have five girls, five children, well, some of them not children no more, but all of them were born in recovery. My first daughter was born in 88. She's 23. Crazy. I got five girls now. Now they think I don't know what time it is. I always just been daddy. You know what I'm saying? I don't know nothing. So I get all the little schemes and games, you know what I'm saying? But that's another story. You know, but anybody that have daughters, you know, I don't have no sons yet. I have a stepson. He's cool and everything, you know, but sometimes I gotta put him in check. You know what I mean? I have two grandchildren, right? And my granddaughter's here by a blessing because, you know, this fellowship gave me, it connected me with a power greater than myself. It connected me with feelings that I had never had. It connected me with a conscience. And what I found out about a conscience, right, that my conscience is the loudest voice that my higher power is going to speak to me in. It don't come no clearer than my conscience. Because every time I know I'm doing something wrong or something, whatever it is, I'm going to get a voice. Now, whether I listen to that voice or whether I don't, decides what's going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? But my conscience is my higher power speaking to me, you know? And I really feel that, you know? So when my 17-year-old daughter got pregnant, right? I'm going to share this with you right quick, how my granddaughter got here. When my 17-year-old got pregnant, me and her mother was talking about, you know, abortion. She was young. You know, we didn't know what to do. It's thin line. You know, whatever. So she decided to get the abortion. So we went to the clinic in Long Island City in Queens. And at this time, you know, usually most abortion clinics in Brooklyn, it's like office buildings. So, you know, it's people going in and out. You don't see what's going on. But this clinic, they had the anti-abortionists in front. You know, the people we decide, don't do it, it's going to be all right, we got you. You know, God is Jesus' children and all that. So now that hit my, you know, my conscience was like, damn, maybe, you know, this ain't right. Then she went inside, started filling out the papers, right? I walked outside. They stopped me. They don't block the door. You know, they just be there, you know. And they said to me, you know, look, it's going to be okay, child of Christ and all this stuff like this, you know. And see, now, when I first went to the clinic, my abortion rate was like about 80%, right? But then when I came out, it dropped to like about 45% now, right? So I'm like, damn, maybe this ain't right. So then I walked to the store, came back. I see my daughter standing outside, you know, and she was crying. I started crying a little bit. We walked down the block to the abortionists, you know, people, anti-abortionists, and said, well, I guess we'll see y'all in 9 months. You know what I mean? And they cried, hugged my daughter, we cried. And as a result, my granddaughter's 3 years old today. You know what I mean? Yeah. Little junior, you know? Well, I call her junior, you know, but, you know, she's something else. And every time I look at her, I say, yo, you know, you almost didn't make it, you know, to myself. You know, she almost didn't make it. And that's one of the gifts of recovery, you know, just one out of so many, you know. And I just want to share, man, like, you know, like this fellowship, man, it took me from a place, man. Like the main thing that really strikes me is when we read Why Are We Here, right? You know, because before coming to the fellowship, I didn't live life as other people do. I had to have something different. And I thought I found it in drugs. You know what I'm saying? Today, I mean, just for today, you know what I'm saying? I could walk in my house, cut the lights on. I could cut the TV on, it, the cable bill's paid. I got some gas in my car. And I could still take my kids to McDonald's, you know? And besides, I was breathing in and out all day, so far I'm having a good day. You know what I'm saying? This fellowship, you know, I had some bumps and bruises along the way. You know, I went to jail in recovery. You know, I got caught up in some stuff I was doing, you know, and I did some time, you know, eight months in prison. Well, not in prison, county jail, you know what I'm saying? But it's still locked up. You know, the worst thing is to have your freedom taken away, period, right? Period. And the second thing is to have your freedom taken away clean. Because now you're in the can, you know what I'm saying? You're clean, you know, and it's a whole, you know, anybody, I know a lot of y'all, few of y'all been locked up. At least one of y'all been locked up before, I know. I'm not the only one. And you know how it is in the can, you know? And my dumb ass, my crazy ass thought, I could tell the judge, I'm in recovery. That made it worse. He said I should have done better. You know what I'm saying? So I also want to thank my thinking. You know what I'm saying? I could tell you about how I feel is one thing, but my thinking is another thing. My thinking has changed so much, you know? I don't need nobody to tell me that I changed. I could compare myself, me to me, I get instant gratitude. The book says we're never in competition. But I compare me to me from when I came in this fellowship, just the way I think, you understand what I'm saying, has changed a whole lot. Like the speaker was saying last night, slowly things have come off, you know. And I did my quick little inventory last night when he shared that, you know. A lot of things came off, you know. I'm not perfect. I'm still working on some issues. Like the third step, right? Like I turned my will over by not making meetings. I mean, by making meetings and not using and, you know, whatever. But certain parts of my lifestyle I haven't let go yet. I still got it. I still hold on to it. And those little certain parts of my lifestyle are still the things that cause me just a little bit of problem and chaos in my life today. You know? You know, it's things that I really need to work on. But I haven't. So I'm here. I'll keep coming. Yeah, they just gave me the time. This is the first time I ever spoke on one of these joints. Now, I got to let y'all know, I really don't want to stop. Now, I'm just playing. My name is Al, I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. I have an announcement. A young lady has lost her a little black pocketbook, and she's a newcomer, and all of her information is in that pocketbook. So if you find it, please take it to the lost and found. Okay, for the next...